Good morning, everybody. We haven't been together for a while. We have, but it is. I always love brunch Sundays because I love preaching on brunch Sundays because it's harder for me to fall asleep up here. So hopefully my sermon will make it so that you don't fall asleep out there either. But turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, starting verse 12. For even as the body is one, and it has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that we have to be together this morning. I thank you for the fellowship that we've had so far this morning and the encouragement that we can receive from that. Lord, I thank you for each and every member of the body, Lord, around the world that is doing their part, Lord, to help further your kingdom. Lord, I thank you for the blessings that I have in my life because of the fellow saints, Lord, and I just pray that you encourage them this day. Lord, I thank you so much for Jesus. I thank you for his spirit, the spirit that helps us to conquer this world, to overcome, Lord, and to be a part of your family. We thank you for Jesus and we praise in his name. Amen. All right, so you know, we had family camp last week. It was a very encouraging time for myself. You know, there's a lot of different things that you know, emotions when you're going into camp and during camp, when you leave camp, and you know, it's always easy to go to a special church function, for lack of a better term, I guess. When you go to a camp, you go to, you know, for the kids, the youth camp, or for the younger kids, you know, Bible Bowl or Spiritual Warriors, whatever it is. And for the adults, you know, we've got the Ladies Advance and Men's Peaks and the various camps and things that you go through and go to. And it's a time that can be extremely encouraging just to be around, a large group of like-minded people working in other places, doing the same work that you're trying to do in where you're from. But sometimes I think that a person can leave camps and things like that, you know, ready to kind of change everything about themselves. You know, we're ready to make all these changes, which in some ways it is a good thing. You know, if there's changes that need to be made, it's a good, you know, maybe it's good encouragement to make those changes in your life. You know, but sometimes it's like you get off the emotional high coming off of these things, and it's like, now we got to go do this stuff and do this stuff and do this stuff. And maybe it's not that doing those things would be bad, but sometimes I think we leave and we're like, we're on fire and we're excited, but then a few days pass or a week pass or a month passes and you just kind of, you know, that kind of goes away a little bit. You know, I think that's with a lot of different things in life, and it doesn't have to just be with this. You know, you go to you know, with Weston, you go to a big wrestling tournament and you wrestle really good, and you wrestle, you know, really good kids from a long ways away, and you see how good some of those kids are, and it's like, man, if I go back and we work extra hard this spring and extra hard this summer and fall, you know, next spring, we're gonna be on that level again. And then you get home and you get into baseball and you kind of forget about wrestling for a little bit you know, you start not doing the things that you were thinking you were going to do and whatnot, and get your hand in a cast and things like that. You know, you just don't move forward on some of those plans. But the other thing that sometimes I get, you know, you get into a group of good people like at camp, and you start thinking sometimes, you know, all these guys got it figured out. And all these guys, you know, it's encouraging to be around these people, and I want to be more like these people, and those are good things. The problem sometimes, though, is that we get to comparing, and we get to comparing ourselves to, you know, maybe I should, if I just a little bit more like that guy, you know, if I could just preach like that guy preached, or if I could just, you know, handle this situation like that guy handles this situation, or, you know, maybe maybe if I could just spend more time doing what that guy's doing, you know, you start thinking about those things. But in reality, when we look at it, we look at the scriptures, just because we're not that person that we see doing this over here doesn't mean that what we're doing over here isn't equally as important. And sometimes I think we get to thinking, man, we think little of ourselves because of how much we appreciate the other people. And it's not that those people shouldn't be appreciated, and it's not that those people aren't doing great things. But just because people are doing great things and it's not exactly like it looks like that you're doing in your life, doesn't mean that what you're doing is not worthy and what you're doing is not great. And I would bet if gambling wasn't bad, I would bet a good amount of money that there's people that encounter us at those camps, all of us here at those camps and things, and it's like, man, if I did a few more things like them. You know, I think that people see us as encouragements and us as raising the bar. And then that's the beauty of iron sharpening iron, is that when iron rubs against iron, they both get sharp. And that's what's nice about it. And that's what's the beauty of being together and doing this, is that that each side gets pushed to get a little better both ways and to be better people. But I don't want us to see other people and look at the, you know, the work they're doing, or the gift of being able to do certain things easily, as something that we're not good enough to be a part of. You know, we read this passage here in Romans, you know, there's many members, but there's one body. And we're going to go through verse 19, but, verse 12 specifically we read already, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. You know, Paul starts this off in this passage, and there's a lot of things that lead up to this, and we'll touch on some of that later, but he's got, you know, you think about the differences of a physical body, and how, you know, if you didn't have this or you didn't have that, it would be much, much tougher. If Shane's eyeball would have got kicked out yesterday, you know, it might have been harder for him to find a wife. But I'm just kidding, bud. But it would have been tougher. It would have been kind of a tough deal, right? It would have been something he would have had to learn to live without, which wouldn't be easy. I read a story last night. The college rodeo coach at Montana State, his wife had a horse wreck, got caught in a rope, and actually lost her hand. It was about 3 weeks ago now, and she finally got home yesterday. But she's a, you know, 30-something year old lady or whatever. She's gonna have to learn to live without that hand for the rest of her life, and it's not going to be the same, and it's not going to be easy. And the rest of her body's gonna have to make up for that part. But when you lose a certain part of the body, or you don't have that, the body doesn't function as it was initially built to function. And so when we think of different people, we need everybody. We can't, if everybody was a preacher, things wouldn't go so well. If everybody was, you know, just an encourager, we might not have in-depth, you know, beliefs. If everybody was, you know, if we had 24 members, you know, in the congregation, and all of them made Lord's Supper bread, we'd have a lot of Lord's Supper bread, you know, but nobody brought the juice, we wouldn't have the juice, you know. So which, you know, flavor wise it's whatever, but we wouldn't have things, you know. If everybody doesn't do their part, the body doesn't function. And so Paul brings this out, and he talks about the unity that we have. And the unity isn't in our relationship with each other. The unity is in Christ. And you know, it doesn't matter if you're 20 years old, if you're 40 years old, if you're 50 years old. I didn't mean to point there. at you, but if you're close to 50 years old, you know, or if you're 80 years old, whatever, you know, everybody's got a different background. Everybody's got a different idea of you know, different way that they've come to Christ. They've had different experiences in life. They've had different trials in life. Different, you know, everybody's got different jobs. when Brandon was speaking, or I can't remember your speak. I think it was during your message when you brought up you and Jared Schaefer. Jared Schaefer is a super good dude. We all love Jared Schaefer. When I talk about cattle, Jared Schaefer has no idea what I'm talking about. When Jared Schaefer talks about computers, I mean, he may as well be speaking, you know, Swahili, because I can't even make the noises, man. Like, I don't have any idea what he's talking about. And we kind of chuckle, you know, like, oh, they don't really know anything about cattle. And then he's, you know, with his buddies talking, well, these guys don't know nothing about computers. We don't really have a lot in common in our jobs and even things that interest us. There is some, you know, there's things that cross over, but we have a, you know, Brandon talked about having a good friend in Jared and a great connection in Jared, because he has a spirit and Brandon has a spirit, and together they are made one body with Christ. And I think that is something we can all point to different people. There's no way I'd be friends with Kirk, you know, if he wasn't my brother in Christ and in blood, I guess, too. So there's that. But different age, different talents, different backgrounds, you know, different things that we do, but we can all be one body because of Christ and because of the Spirit. turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Let's start in verse 4. Paul writing here, cross-reference, pretty much same verbiage, different people, but he says, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Connected in Christ. We all have a different function, but we all have the same purpose, the same goal in mind. You know, you think about people in battle. You know, guys are off to war, and you know, if everybody went forward and nobody watched the flanks, they would get attacked from the sides, and they would get surrounded. It would not work. If you know, we're gathering cattle yesterday, and I was going after the lead of the herd because they were kind of going off, and I looked back and I yelled out to Kirk to you know, I used the term watch my six, which is watch behind me, because I was having to go with the front cows, and the cows behind me could have saw a big hole and went. And that happened with a couple of people. I think Kirk eventually got up there and got there, but there was some holes in different places that we had to cover a couple of spots. But if not all spots are guarded, or not all spots are there, there becomes holes. And so we have different functions. We all have different functions. We have different abilities. We have different things, but we're all important. We're all important. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, we'll start in verse 13 now. It says, for by one Spirit we were all immersed into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, notice that he brings up a couple of different things here, and if we turn over to, actually, let's just pop over to Galatians chapter 3 real quick. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 20, let's start in verse 27, 26. Paul writes here again, he says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who have been immersed into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. You notice how Paul breaks down all of the things that in our society we want to divide, right? We've got, you know, men and women. We want to divide them sometimes. You know, the society wants to push one different ways and the other different ways and to have them kind of be enemies a little bit, right? You think about race, you know, different races. That's brought up. The culture wants to bring that up, guys. Like, the people are going to, you know, if I was a betting man, like I say, if I was a betting man, I would say that there is a very low percentage of the world that is actually racist, because people are generally good to people. But there is some racists out there, and the devil wants to try and show everybody is that way. Now, that is a divisive theme in culture, right? We've got, and it's not just in America. It's not just you know, with the push of being racist against African Americans and whites and different things. It's you know, you look at Muslims, and you look at Jews, you look at all the different stuff, all the different divisions of race, and then you look at, you know, and this talks about slave and free man. In the same sense, I think in modernizing that's workers and bosses. You know, it seems like there's a big push that the workers, you know, are never really on the same page as the bosses, and it's kind of a divisive thing there, right? It's interesting that Paul brings up all of these themes in here, and he says, none of these things divide those who are in Christ. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, red, yellow, green. It doesn't matter if you're male, you're female. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're a slave, you're free, whatever, if you're imprisoned, if you're not, it does not matter. What matters is that you have Christ Jesus inside of you, and we are connected in that way, and that is what is important. He brings up all those things and says, but we are one body brought together by Christ. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 14 says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. Guys, it's extremely easy for people to be like, man, at least in my life, it has been to be like, man, that guy's just a good preacher. You know, I wish I was a preacher like that guy. I wish I could do those things. I wish I could study like that and teach those things and speak in front of this many people and do all that and whatnot. And just because we're not that guy doesn't mean that our part's not important. Doesn't mean that our part doesn't need to be done. You see, we can only function if everybody does their job. If the foot feels inferior and doesn't do his job because he's wanting to be like the hand, then the foot's job's not going to get done. And the foot is trying to be the hand when the foot should try to be the best foot it can be. All the way down to the pinky toe. I mean, it's a very important appendage. It really is. I mean, can you think about, like, if you didn't have a pinky toe, what would you stub? I mean, my goodness. Like I'm pretty positive I broke my toe a couple weeks ago. I mean, I don't know. My toe is actually straight instead of crooked, so I think it maybe is broke. I mean, that thing hurt. Like, if you didn't have it, you'd kind of forget you had a foot. But we can't feel inferior to other people in the body. We can't think that we're less than them because we don't do what they do. Because if we do that, then we lose sight of what we have been entrusted to do. What we have been put in place to do for the body. Now, I don't want people to get the idea that we shouldn't, you know, okay, so here's Kyle, you know, 25-year-old Kyle. You know, man, I wish I'd get the opportunities to preach like some of these guys, and I wish I was able to do some of the stuff that these guys do and whatnot. That doesn't mean that 25-year-old Kyle just stays complacent in what 25-year-old Kyle's jobs were. 25-year-old Kyle needed to continue to study. If 25-year-old Kyle wanted to preach like those guys, Kyle needed to continue to work to preach like those guys. Kyle needed to continue to study to be able to put forth messages like those guys. Kyle needed to continue to do his job. And I'm talking to myself in the third person. It's kind of fun. I kind of feel like a jerk, but I couldn't stay complacent with who I was at 25 if I wanted to be like these other guys. What I was doing at 25 was what I was supposed to be doing at 25. But if I wanted to do more, I have to work for more. Doesn't mean that my job at 25 was insufficient. Doesn't mean that my job at 25 wasn't worthy of doing. But not everybody has to do what everybody else does. I think that is something that Satan really tries to get into people. Really tries to, you know, confidence is a huge thing. When I can't remember who it was or what the story was. When I was in me and a couple of friends went on a trip one time to a big rodeo and some concerts and stuff. And towards the end of the rodeo, we were like, man, we couldn't get tickets to this show, but the show was almost over. And it's like, well, they weren't taking tickets anymore. And I had a friend who's like, I get in. And I was, you know, like, you go for it. You go for it. They're going to turn you around the gate. And I mean, walked right up, never even looked at the guy, just walked right through the gate. The guy just didn't say nothing. Went into the concert, saw half the concert, never had a ticket. But the confidence in which the person walked through there, just like, they had a ticket, just like they had been in there. And I'm not saying to do that, young folks. I'm just saying that if you have confidence, you can get away with a lot. There's a lot of things that you can do that people will never question you. If somebody comes up to you in the store and asks you if you know where the bread is because you look like you work there, you take them over to the bread man. You look like you're a pretty good dude because you're confident. You know, you can do those things. But you can get away with a lot if you have confidence. You can get through a lot of situations if you're confident in how you can handle things. We can get through, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do if we're confident in who we are and the job that we are capable of doing. And the things that we can do are way greater than we thought we could do. But if we have that idea of being inferior to people, not confident in our abilities, then sometimes he's going to attack that. And he's going to remind you of that all the time. Hey, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. When in reality, when we look at things and we understand who we are and the power in which the Spirit that lives within us has and the ability that we have in Him to be a part of something greater, we absolutely should have confidence in that. And we should not listen to the devil's lies. We don't have to be a hand. The foot gets us places. And the foot is a very needed part. Turn to... let's continue on here, I guess, in verse 17. It says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? You know, you think about that, and I mentioned already, if we were all teachers, it probably wouldn't work. Who's going to be the listener? Who's going to be the learner? Who's going to be the encouragement? Who's going to be the person who helps? You know, a lot of times, and I'm going to throw this out there that maybe people don't necessarily agree with. A lot of times, some of the best preachers are maybe the worst people at you know, going and visiting people that just need somebody to talk to. And that's not a bad thing. It's because they're busy doing preaching stuff. But maybe the next guy's ability is to go visit that person in the hospital. Maybe that next person's ability is to, you know, go over and cut the grass for the elderly folks so they don't have to go out and do that. Maybe all of the little jobs that we think of that are just, you know, kind of low man's work, maybe those things are just as important, but in a different way. And if we all did those, did just one of those things, we wouldn't function. It's really hard on a place of employment when everybody that's there is the bosses. It don't work. When everybody's there, it also doesn't work if you don't have a boss. But you've got to have both sides. Not everyone is the hand. Not everyone is the eye. Not everyone's the ear. We don't have to hear, you know, everything. We don't have to see everything. But if the hearing's doing their side and the seeing's doing their side, every single part is necessary. Verse 18. But now God has placed the members of each one of them in the body just as he has desired. Just as he desired. And verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. God placed us where he wants us. There's different roles we read about in Ephesians chapter 4. You know, we got the evangelist, and you've got the prophets, and you've got the apostles and the teachers and the shepherds and whatnot. Have a different role, but all for the same purpose: the equipping and the building up of the saints. All different roles, all the same purpose: to equip and build up the body. Comparison destroys us. Individualism destroys us. We live in a society now, in a world where it's like, hey man, you go do your thing. You go do your thing. You be yourself. It's so easy for people to say, hey man, like, if people aren't with you, they're against you, just go ahead and cut them off. Like, that's an easy enough idea, right? Like, get rid of the people in your life that are holding you back. In some ways, I understand the idea. I do. I do understand the idea. If people aren't helping you reach your goals, maybe that you don't need to listen to them all the time. But guys, it is so easy for a society to say, hey, forget about those people. Guys, people in our lives for a reason. And we need to understand that you know, we are not meant to be an island by ourselves with our own beliefs and our own understanding, our own teachings and our own thing. We're not supposed to be by ourselves. We are a people meant to be with people. We are people that are put together in this body, able to work together to serve the Lord. We can't be individualized. The whole idea of the gospel is to be a family. The whole idea of the gospel is to be one with him and one with the body. It's interesting when Paul writes this, you know, we look back in chapter 11, when they were taking the Lord's Supper incorrectly, you know, I think that it's pretty easy to take from the book of 1 Corinthians that in the church in Corinth, they definitely had a separation of status. They had people who thought they were better than others. They had, you know, the people that were eating all their food and had overabundance, people that didn't have any food, people that had, you know, all those different levels of things. But it was not, there was no unity. There was no connection. There was no, the Christ was not the center focus of the church in Corinth at the time. People were selfish. And when he writes this stuff, when he writes to them, he's like, hey, you guys, nobody is less than anybody else. You all have a purpose. Do your job. This doesn't have to just come down to stuff that happens in the church. We are to be the best that we can be at whatever we do. Now that doesn't mean that hey, you know, somebody's maybe a better answer than I am. I told somebody yesterday I do everything that Cowboys do, just not well. So, you know, maybe I'm a bad cowboy, or I like the term cattleman. It doesn't sound bad. It sounds good. But you think about that stuff, like, be the best that you can be at whatever you do. If you're going to do it, put the effort in it and be the best that you can be. Be the best employer that you can be. Be the best employer in town. Be the best worker for that employer that he's got. That doesn't mean that maybe you're the understand all the aspects of the work, but do your job to the best of your abilities. Translates to the church. Just because you're not up front preaching, just because maybe you're not, you know, having the Bible studies, maybe just because, you know, so-and-so memorized, you know, better than I memorized. Maybe, you know, when the all the different things that we talk about it at the camps and whatnot. Just because so-and-so's, you know, immersing a bunch of people doesn't mean that what we're doing's not got a purpose. Do the best that you can do at the job that you are doing. Because every member is important. And every job is important. It doesn't matter our race. It doesn't matter our wealth. It doesn't matter our jobs. It doesn't matter our families. What matters is that we have the Spirit of Christ in us, that we are a part of a body that is bigger than ourselves, and we are a part of something that each and every person has a part to help that body grow. Don't compare ourselves to anybody else. Compare ourselves to ourselves and what we can do to make ourselves better and help grow and help further Christ's kingdom. And if we do those things, if we ask those questions of ourselves, I think that we will conquer great things. And we will do many great things for this kingdom that we are a part of. Many members, one body, each has an important function. So go and function.